This episode of Star Wars in Character is sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com offers well over 100 Star Wars audiobook titles, including the new release Red Harvest, the prequel story to the smash hit horror/Star Wars story Death Troopers. And now you can download one free audiobook from Audible.com, including Red Harvest or any one of the other over 85,000 titles Audible carries, by visiting our website at www.swic.neozaz.com and clicking on the audible.com link at the top of the page.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Watto. Watto's appearances was in the 1999 The Phantom Menace and 2002 Attack of the Clones. Tim, give us some Watto facts.
Okay, well, Watto's species is known as a Toydarian.
Toydarian.
Didn't we work with him at the theater?
Hi there.
Toydarian Sinaiko.
I was going to say, there's only going to be a handful of people that get that joke, but it's a good joke.
It's the four of us.
Are there other Toydarians in the Star Wars universe, or is he like the only one? I don't remember seeing
a
other.
Bunch.
Chris and I would know, because they appear quite frequently on the Clone Wars animated series. Watto has not appeared on there, but the Toydarian race does. They've appeared on several episodes. Most recently, there was an episode that dealt with Darth Maul's brother, Savage Opress, and he
fantastic episode.
Really, Chris will he'll get my back on this. It's like seriously one of the best episodes of the series. The leader of the Toydarian planet is King Katunko, and he has shown up in the first season and several episodes of the third season, but they. He killed him off, so I have a feeling he's not going to be coming back. But
good.
They may bring Watto in on some episode. They haven't used him yet, but they could probably squeeze him into some storyline during the Clone Wars era.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. at least one good thing can come from somebody watching that show. Can you tell me, based on those other characters, is there like a certain characteristic that Toydarians have? Because Watto is portrayed in a certain way. Are all Toydarians like businessmen, if you want to be nice?
No, they kind of seem like they were sort of like a, I don't know, this may not make sense, like a peaceful warrior race, like tough. they're not easily pushed over, but well, I guess they're more defensive. They'll stand their ground.
Oh, okay. Actually, I follow you. Okay.
They have like a at least the race, maybe not Watto himself, they have a deep sense of honor, and they respect honorable characteristics in like a Jedi or other warrior.
So he's like the opposite of these people. Because he's a scumbag.
He's kind of the scumbag of the Toydarian race. It seems like just.
Now, do they all talk like he does in the movie, or did cheap out like when they had George Takei on as one of those Asian frog guys, and he didn't have an Asian accent?
No,
Oba.
At least the King Katunka, he kind of had like blah 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 blah.
A bobbity booby. Yeah, you tried the best, and I'll try the rest.
Sort of a stately sort of way of speaking, not the sort of gruff streetwise Watto characterization as a used car salesman, I guess is how I've heard it referred to in interviews, I think.
Right. Well, the other thing about these Toydarians, like there's a scene, he's got a lot of scenes. I mean, we're going to do these characters and maybe he's got the most scenes of people that we'll end up doing. Like we did Lobot. He's in the movie for, a couple minutes and change. Like Watto's, Matt pointed out, a pretty pivotal character, at least in episode one. He does this thing where, Qui-Gon's going to do the Jedi mind trick on him like Obi-Wan does to the stormtroopers. And he says, you know, it doesn't work. Yeah. Mind tricks don't work, only money. Is that like, is that just him? Or are they some kind of evolved species that they're smarter than that? Like, because it doesn't work on Jabba the Hutt in with Luke in Return of the Jedi. Why doesn't it work on him? Or is that never explained?
I don't. It's never been explained in any of the things that I've seen. So I don't know if there's like a spell, like they have like a thick skull or something. I really don't know.
I always thought that the Jedi mind tricks never worked on like stupid people.
Right. Like stormtroopers.
Yeah. Like mindless goons.
So he's too smart for it. Watto.
Interesting.
He's like clever. More. He's not like a stoolie. He's got a little more brains. He's sly, I guess is the word. Watto, to be honest, Watto is actually one of my favorite characters of the prequel trilogy. Ugh. I think he's a really well put together character. His animation is just unbelievable, especially in episode two. He just looks so real. Like I have no problem believing that he actually is there flittering away in front of Anakin or Qui-Gon. I think he's a very real character to me.
I'm actually going to do something very odd and agree with Tim on that.
Thank you, man. Even like everything. I think in episode one they really put a big deal. I'm going to say Jar Jar. We're not talking about the character. I'm talking about the technology. The technology. They really put a lot of emphasis on the technological things of Jar Jar. And I think that they did so much better with Watto in terms of believing that he's actually there in front of these living, breathing actors.
What's kind of interesting, and I didn't think of this until you were just talking there. I wonder if Watto is pulled off better because of that whole flying thing where they could actually, you know, adjust for the line of sight for the actor who he's playing against. It's like, well, he's not quite looking at Jar Jar or where Watto should be, so we can easily just have him get it in the air and be in his eye line where he should be. I wonder if that's why it seems to play off better than if they aren't looking at Jar Jar's height. There's not much you can do about it.
Right. It's been a while since I watched episode one, but I know that there are a few scenes with Jar Jar where especially Liam Neeson is, he just looks like he's staring blankly at nothing.
No, that's Qui-Gon Jinn. I mean, that's just the character. That's how he. I think that was the direction he was given as well.
But with Watto and some of the other characters like Boss Nass, I never really felt that same sort of. maybe we should start being friends. But I do feel that of those three main computer generated characters from the original movie, Watto to me is the most realistic.
I don't know. Padme Amidala was pretty realistic.
That white outfit.
I mean,
I agree with you guys about Watto. He is. I'm with Matt. Totally with Matt about episode one. Not a fan, but as far as that goes, he's one of my favorite prequel characters in episode one and the little bit that he's in episode two. I think he helped like create this atmosphere, like of what we were told about when we were little about Mos Eisley. In like episode four, like it's supposed to be like this den of scumbags.
Yep.
And you never get to see any of that. I mean, for several reasons, but now you finally get to see it. And I think he helped create that atmosphere. And I really did enjoy him as much as I didn't enjoy almost anything in that movie. I always felt bad for him too. Cause
he was always alone.
What the thing that makes me feel bad for him is that Qui-Gon cheats.
He did. I agree.
And aren't Jedi supposed to be like honorable, noble people?
Yeah.
Not Liam Neeson.
Well, he's cheating a cheat. Because according to the novel for episode one, those dice that he uses, the chance dice, those are weighted dice, so he knows that they're supposed to land on a particular color.
Okay, so he Watto's cheating, so it's okay.
So he's cheating a cheat. So in this case, I guess the Jedi was thinking too, you know, my wrong is counteracting his wrong, so it's not wrong.
Okay.
Wow.
That makes sense?
Yeah, you're stretching to cover a huge plot hole in the story. That makes perfect sense.
And he doesn't know Qui-Gon's a Jedi the whole time, does he?
No, because I don't.
Yeah, that always bothered me, and I always felt a little bit bad for Watto. I mean, not knowing about the weighted chance cube, of course. But I always felt bad. He got ripped off by this guy that was supposed to be like a do-gooder.
He deserves it.
What I don't understand is, and this goes in episode two. In episode two, you kind of see him like real destitute. And I can't really figure out how he gets to that point.
Wait.
He lost everything in episode one.
Really?
But he may have bet and lost a lot, but he did get the winnings. He got all the winnings from the pod race. He got Anakin's pod, which he would have probably been able to sell, and he still had all the junk in his junkyard.
Why do you say he's destitute though? I didn't say anything different except he was wearing like some World War II helmet when we saw him. That's the only thing that's all different.
It sort of seemed like he was in episode one. It sort of seemed like he was a semi successful small business owner. It sort of seemed like he was running a hot dog cart.
Yeah,
I think you're right, Tim, because that's one of the other things I loved about him. I like the change in his demeanor. You get to see him at two like distinctly different times in his life. Yeah. And I watched it yesterday with my son. When he's sitting outside, his beard's longer. He's wearing a stupid hat.
There's flies
all around him. He's like a pathetic mess.
He's like Tim.
Oh. Annie?
Except without the beard.
Little Annie?
Yeah.
Aww. The funniest thing was when they walked in for the very first time when they met him in episode one, and they walked into his shop. There was like a doorbell, like when you walk into like a convenience store, like a bing bong.
Yeah, like a sensor. Yeah.
Hey, what do you know?
Like a pizza shop.
Yeah.
Well, that's what my wife was not watching, and she wouldn't be caught dead. But she was doing something in the background, and she said she assumed he was Italian.
Yeah.
Because of the way he was talking.
Bobbity Booby. Because
he even says, let me take you back.
Pepperoni.
Bibbidi bop, bobbidi boo. Boogada bap.
Boogada bap. And when he makes the deal with Qui-Gon, they slap hands. Yeah. They like high five each other. I thought it was kind of weird.
It was weird.
I think Watto is a really, there's a lot of layers to that particular character. And I think, when you stop and you think about it, is he say what you will about the prequels as a character. I think he's a very interesting and a pretty fascinating study.
Yeah, I agree. He's one of the things that I can say that I can stomach about episode one. And it's probably mostly because of the portrayal. I think it's pretty good. And then, like you said, the animation. How old is Anakin when he's bought as a slave? Because Watto really
Gardilla the Hutt at age three, or he wins him in a bet with Gardilla the Hutt at age three, and he wins him. He and Shmi.
So this is all bullcrap made up after the fact.
So it's from the movies.
They mention in the movies like that. I think Anakin says something to the effect of that he was owned by Gardilla the Hutt and Watto had obtained him somehow, but they don't really go into detail.
So Watto really raises Anakin in a way.
I guess
he's the closest to like, I guess, a father figure.
I will be your father.
Because I guess Shmi would be his moral
his character upbringing.
And Watto, I guess, was just sort of utilizing Anakin was a slave, but he was utilizing him as a talented mechanic, and he saw some potential as a pod racer, and according to his backstory, he used Anakin in several pod races, which Anakin says he never won in the movie. He says he's been in a few, but he's never won one, never finished one, actually.
So yeah, but Tim, in a way, like, you know how teachers today supposedly mold the youth of our future. So in a way, Watto molded Anakin Skywalker's brain for his future.
Listen to that.
That's
pretty deep.
Maybe he got that sense of possessiveness, which was the downfall of Anakin, his
Bad writing was downfall of Anakin.
His need to possess Padme or whatever. But that's neither here nor there.
Or over here.
Well, what's your second fact there, Tim?
Oh, God, that was just okay. One fact?
Yeah, 2 hours later, Watto is voiced by a talented British comedian and writer, Andy Sakambe.
Very good. And you guys met him, right? Well, you have him on your poster.
Yeah, what's weird is that Dave told me that, Tim, you told him that we met him. I have no memory of that whatsoever.
I don't remember. I think he was probably just one of those guys. I went at the table, put my poster down, said thank you, and walked away. I don't really remember. I could kind of remember his face. I think it was at Celebration 4 in Los Angeles, I think is when we got him.
I think he had a little tiny beard going on, flies around him.
And he was
sitting up by the dumpsters.
Rachel Dratch
and Louis De Palma.
Debbie Downer.
But no, I don't have any real recollection of any interaction with Andy Sakambe. Proof is on our poster, but I don't have anything to say about him as a from that interaction.
He's a dick. Sorry.
He touched me.
Someone had to say something.
Well, we were actually lucky enough to get a interview of sorts.
I'm sorry, I take it back. He's not a dick. He's a very nice man and very generous with his time. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, I was able to ask him a few questions, and I will tell you what he said. I let him know that, like I said, Watto was one of my favorite characters in the prequels because we get to see him at these two times in his life. And he said, thank you for your kind words regarding Watto. He was fun to play. It was great fun, and I had a ball working with great actors like Liam Neeson, Natalie Portman, and Ewan McGregor. Jake Lloyd was a terrific kid and gave an astonishing performance for one so young. I also was able to ask him how he got the gig, which I was very interested about. And he said, first found out about The Phantom Menace when I was running a production company in London called Lunchtime Productions. We used to write, voice, and produce animations for television. Our biggest hit was a series called The Insectors, one of the very really first good digital animations for television, which was originally in French and with precious few jokes. We rewrote the whole thing, giving it a very English flavor. Half of the characters were regional, and adding the humor, which the original was missing. Because I and the guy that ran the company were both actors, we also did most of the character voices, bringing in friends and wives when we needed more breadth. So, when the Star Wars Roadshow rolled into town, we got a call asking if we could recommend any good voice artists. We could, ourselves. We both auditioned, and happily for me, I got the gig. So, I guess he was just lucky enough to happen to be running this production company, and they found out about them doing voices, and he was able to throw himself into the mix.
He walked in shit.
I also asked him.
Did you reply? Say, hey, buddy, next time, 20 words or less, okay? We got only a half hour podcast to do here.
Well, we're not done.
Oh, hell, man.
I was supposed to ask him what kind of direction did he receive.
He's a very nice man, very generous with his time.
Was he allowed to improvise or, imprint his ideas on the character? And basically what he said is this. He says, as far as direction went, George said he wanted, quote, a gangstery secondhand car salesman feel with possible mafia connections, end quote. And then it says, then he pretty much let me do what I wanted. The only direction I ever got was, quote, faster, end quote.
Can he do it in the voice?
Well, it seems to me from any interviews that I've seen with Harrison Ford or any of these guys, that's the only direction that anybody ever got.
Yeah.
Faster.
Yeah.
Faster.
More intense.
Faster.
And I also asked him what he's doing these days. He said, these days I write more than I act, but that may change. I've written 5 novels to date on the comedy fantasy genre. Check out my Amazon page. And I most recently published a volume of memoirs about growing up with a father who was part of a British comedy institution, The Goons. Good luck with the podcast. Best wishes, Andy. So what a good dude.
I feel bad for everything I just said, and I mean that.
It was super cool of him. We're nobody. He doesn't know us anything. Yeah. And
I'm a douche.
Well, I think Andy would agree with that.
Well, he's right. Andy can call me a douche, but only Andy.
On Amazon.com and find Andy's page. Just type in Andy Sakambe. It's S-E-C-O-M-B-E. He's written, there's a bunch of books on there. Limbo 2.
I'm buying Endgame for Kindle right now.
Endgame is on there, yes. So we'll put that website on our Facebook page when that is up and running as too, so you can link right to Andy's Amazon page. But I thought it was really nice of him to do that. I
mean, yes, it was.
We're just a bunch of nobodies. Yep.
So for everything I said, I'm buying one of his books. And yeah, I hope that makes up for the douchey things I just said. However, Tim, you are now taking the brunt of the rest of the podcast. The rest of my rage.
Great. All right.
What's your third fact?
Apparently, when The Phantom Menace was released, there was a lot of controversy over some of the characterizations in terms of voices for many of the characters, and Watto was not spared. Watto, village voice, basically calls him, and I'm quoting, a blatant ethnic stereotype due to his hooked nose. They were calling him a Jewish or Arab stereotype, very anti-Semitic. I can't pronounce that. But yeah, they were saying he was an anti-Semitic or anti-Arabic stereotype in terms of how he's portrayed.
Yeah, I read that too. It's episode one is ripe with stereotypes. There's the whole Jar Jar controversy with African American stereotypes in there, and then this one. And this never dawned on me. I mean, no. I don't think George Lucas is trying to pull a fast one on anybody. I mean, this is just coincidental.
It kind of seems to me when I hear this sort of stuff, it just sort of seems to me like a writer just wants to get their name out there. This was kind of, I guess, the earlier days of the internet as being an entertainment medium. And I think that this was just kind of like link bait. You know, they would type in Star Wars. People would go and it would create this controversy that probably didn't necessarily exist. And I don't really think too many people are talking about it anymore.
No, probably not.
I think it's kind of a non-issue these days.
Yeah. Yeah, the one thing I read too is this lady who writes for something called the American Review said it dawned on her when she was leaving the theater, and she has a quote here that she heard two kids say, quote, they called Watto, quote, that weird little Jewish guy with wings. And I never got that till I started reading this.
Yeah, I bet that didn't even happen. Mm. I'm looking at you, Jane Prettyman of the American Review.
What did those two kids say after they saw Sam Jackson?
I don't even want to go there.
Even I'm not going to touch that one.
Yeah, that.
Well, the Jar Jar thing got a lot of press when it first came out.
Oh yeah,
and I never the Watto thing. Like you said, it's there, but the Jar Jar thing I think overshadowed it.
And that's unfortunate that they would pick the stereotype because there's so many things to complain about Jar Jar other than the stereotype.
Squeeze me.
There you go. There's item number one.
Yeah, no, I remember going to see episode one, and none of that stuff ever dawned on me. I do remember seeing episode one and thinking Jar Jar was annoying.
Waiting over it. You couldn't wait. You don't care if it was all just shit on the screen, Tim.
Yeah.
As long as you heard the theme and you saw the scroll of the screen. Yeah. Loved it.
I was going to say you were too busy making sure no one saw you masturbating during the.
How many times in theater?
I think I've said this before. I saw episode one with a bunch of the guys from Wizard Magazine, and one of the guys I was sitting next to was Matt Senrek, who went on to create Robot Chicken with Seth Green. So I was eyeing him up and licking my lips and saying,
"Oh wow!"
Just kidding. No, but or am I?
Wow.
No, but yeah, that was. But no, I just remember not thinking anything of that, and I guess the power of suggestion afterwards, when someone mentions it to you, you sort of go back and go, oh yeah, I can see that.
But, yeah, if it's stereotypes, large nose, you know,
yeah.
what people consider Jewish stereotypes, and they're idiots. So.
I agree.
It's not worth giving any more credence to. So thanks for bringing it up, Tim.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Put me down.
Do it for the Jews.
Are we ready for Matt's website?
I'm ready.
Of course you are. After what you just said, I have to let you know that the website is called Jew or Not Jew, where they discuss whether or not he's Jewish. So.
Did Mel Gibson make this website?
Yeah, actually, you know what? There's a Mel scale on this site. It's a pretty funny site. So if you want to know for sure what the verdict is on Watto being a Jew or not a Jew, go to Jew or Not Jew and type in Watto in the search and find out for yourself. I'll leave that to you to find out.
This is a real website.
This is a real website.
Oh my God.
Jew or not Jew.com.
We're done.
There is something. There is a website devoted to everything.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Jeez. Can you see? Is there like a clicker on there to see how many people have visited it?
Let's see. Not that I see.
That would be the true indictment of our nation.
Unreal.
There'll be one more after this is over because Chris is.
I know. It's not so much the information on it that I found entertaining. It was the fact that it actually existed. I was like, wow, someone put effort into putting this together.
If there's one for him, there must be one for Jar Jar then. I mean, not that we're doing him now and probably won't. He's too much of a character, hopefully, for us to do.
Jar Jar is not in Jew or not Jew database.
Hmm. Wow. All right. Well, are we ready for some trivia then?
I am ready.
All right.
Trivia. So
our last show, we tried this out for the first time, and Chris, Tim, and myself all got our questions right, but Matt, however, did not.
Deuce which is A. awesome.
So at this point, the score is 1-1-1-0.
Yes. So in a way, I can say I'm winning.
Yeah, you're tied for the lead.
Okay.
So we're going to start with Chris. Chris, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Now, these questions are straight character questions. And
bring it.
No, nothing else. Just characters only, since this is Star Wars in character. Are you ready?
Bring it.
Who said the ability to destroy a planet was insignificant next to the power of the Force?
If you get this wrong, I swear.
That's done now.
Tim putting pressure on you. You want me to read it again?
Please, could you, host?
Who said the ability to destroy a planet was insignificant next to the power of the Force?
You know why? Vader. Final answer.
That's correct.
Woohoo!
Did you just guess?
Ding, 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 ding.
Remember the scene. So in a way, I'm winning, right? Right now?
In a way?
Game over.
You are winning,
over.
Yeah.
Away.
Podcast over.
All in right. a way, so, in the way that you are winning, yes, you're winning.
Thank you.
No, it's Matt's turn.
Uh-oh.
Matt, Watto. Are you ready?
Yes.
Correct.
Original trilogy only.
Oh, okay.
You have a quote on here. I will insert the quotation marks. Who said, quote, "I must obey my master," end quote?
I'm going to guess that's Vader as well.
That's correct.
All right. Yeah, I'm on the board.
Matt's on the board. All right, Tim, are you ready?
I am ready.
Now, if you don't get this, I get a shot at it. And if you get it, I get my own damn question.
Damn. All right. Hard. He comes up there. I get the question. I don't know.
Noonan. Even miss it.
Even if I pick it up, he'll still know.
True.
That's how pathetic.
What do they mine in Cloud City?
Yes. And that's a callback. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Who was capable of deflecting blaster bolts with his hands?
I'm sensing a theme here.
I was going to say, are there any Vader. Other answers in this card deck?
Darth Vader. Fine.
That's correct. There were three different random cards
right in a row.
That's weird.
All right, Dave.
All right. This is to tie.
Dave, go on a limb and commit to the answer Vader now before you even hear the question.
What? What character did James Earl Jones voice?
No, get out of here.
No, I'm kidding.
Watto.
Who, according to Admiral Mati, practice sorcerer's ways? I swear to God.
Darth Vader.
Ooh, yes.
How weird is that?
That is weird.
That's beyond weird.
I pulled four random cards out.
Yep.
And he was the answer on all four.
Yep.
All right. Congratulations to everyone.
Yeah. Good job, Matt.
Thank you.
That's more upset now that he got one
right. I am. I'm like, damn.
Got it wrong.
That means, I'm playing the game for real. Shit. Well, I guess that's it. We would like to thank you for listening to our Star Wars in Character discussion about Watto. Join us next time. We discuss, let's see if I say it right, Momol Naden. Who is it? For the original trilogy fans, a.k.a. Hammerhead.
Stop. Hammerhead.
Love that sound effect.
That's a wrap.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars In Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars In Character episodes and information.
I thought Tim was going to do his sound effect that I love.
Of what?
Go ahead, Tim.
Which sound effect?
You know the sound effect. No, that you do it with your
your lips.
With your lip, you go or something.
What?
You know what you're talking about.
You do that like bubble you popping, like, you bubble popping. It's with like, yeah.
That one?
And then you stick your finger, man, and do the pop. Come on, Tim.
I don't know.
Yeah. You used to do that every day.
Is that it?
That's it.
That was awesome.
You used to do that every day.
Damn, I guess I didn't notice.
That was on his to-do list. Wake up. Yeah. Oh yeah, do that sound effect. Okay, now I can start my day.
Or anything that had anything to do with like sex. Tim would do it.
He would. Oh, my teacher.
That is so awesome.
He would say something bad about Tim and he would go,
oh. I need to figure out how to make that like my text message sound on my phone. Every time I get a text message.
Oh, all right, settle.
Well, there's our closer.
Chris is taking order. What did you say? Settle. Stifle.
Chillax.
I see that Lobot picture looking at me.
with the three hairs I drew growing out of his mole in his head.
All right,
come on. Get your game face on.
I'm ready. Ready? Today, we are talking about Watto.
I was waiting for Tim's sound effect.
Oh, I didn't even. And then the next line said Lobot's only appearance. That's why it threw me off.
All right,
I'm sorry.
Take two.
Do
you want me to cross out Lobot and write Watto? You?
No, I know it's Watto.
Watto.
Watto's a no-gato.